And I still believe God does miracles. We're praying for that. You know, if you were raised in church, maybe your beliefs were handed down by your family. How many of you remember there was a time that if you were like raised Baptist, you were Baptist the rest of your life, right? If you were raised Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic, Pentecostal, Assembly of God, whatever it is, that's what you were. That's what I was raised in. That's what I am. If you were not that, today what has happened, people are beginning to discover a faith for themselves, not necessarily what I was taught with. And listen, internet has made that really easy, right? It's like, well, let me check out something else, you know? Let me see what else is going on. And so people have tried different denominations, different churches. Nothing necessarily wrong with that, except for when we start trying like completely different religions, right? Like Buddhist or Muslim or something like that. And let me tell you, like I said, because of COVID, that has been happening more and more. But I want to give you a warning. You need to be careful whether they call themselves Christian or not. You got to be careful what you listen to. Just because something sounds good does not automatically make it good, right? Just because something sounds like the truth doesn't make it. I mean, there are people that are very good, and not necessarily that they're doing this intentionally, but their beliefs have caused them to twist the word of God just a little bit to where it's not completely the truth. How many of you have a key and it gets bent just a little bit? How many of you know it doesn't work in the door anymore? Right, like something happened, it got twisted. It looks good, it looks like it's the same, but it doesn't work anymore. So we have to be careful what we listen. Just because, like I said, it sounds smart, just because you see it on the internet, like how many of you have ever gotten one of those things like, forward this to 10 people and Bill Gates will send you $100. Right, I'm sorry to tell you that's not true. Even if you say, wait a minute, Pastor Scott, it's on the internet, I saw it there. You know, just because it's there doesn't necessarily, we have to be wise. And I think one of the challenges that that we face is when we start allowing anything other than God's word to influence our beliefs. And there are a lot of religious systems, there are even a lot that would call themselves Christian that teaches really too much emphasis on ourselves, what we do. Like every religious system other than, you know, true Christianity teaches that there is a certain level of good works or accomplishments that you and I have to do in order to make it to heaven. You've got to do this. It's more about you. It's about accomplishing enough and then you'll reach heaven. And if you don't do enough, then you're not going to make it, right? You're not. If you don't do enough in as a Buddhist, then, you know, then you're going to come back as a fly. Right, you got your nirvana. I forget which one teaches that. It's like, what do I have to do to achieve that? And all of the focus is really determined on you. What you do determines where you go. And the question is, how much is enough? How do I know when I've achieved that level? Nobody really knows. But one thing's for sure, it is all up to you. You got to do it. You've got to achieve that. And listen, I don't think it's intentional, but when we take our cues and we hear other religions that teach that kind of belief, then we sometimes begin to incorporate that into what we believe, to where we get to the point that what we do, what we say, how much faith we have. You know, if you haven't been healed, it's because you don't have enough faith. Anybody ever hear that? Right? If you need a financial miracle and you don't get it, it's because you haven't given enough. It's because you haven't done enough to qualify for that miracle. You've got to achieve something before you're going to be able to unlock that. And I believe that good-hearted people have said things like, you know what? You have this sickness. If you have this sickness, it's because it's your fault. You must have done something wrong. You know what? You blew it somewhere. And listen, that is the same kind of counsel. I just got finished reading Job in my devotion that his friends gave Job. Oh, all this calamity in your life, it's because you did something, Job. You must have blown it somewhere. And so we kind of adopt that mentality. I don't know if you know this, but the counsel Job's friends gave Job was not good. Right? They got a stern rebuke, not only from Job, but from God. And when God rebukes you, that means you weren't right. So if we're taking the same philosophy and we're applying that into our life, like, you know, you wouldn't need this surgery if you just had enough faith. If you just believe, or if somebody, you know, if you just say that you're healed, that makes you healed. Don't admit that you're sick, or else then you're going to be more sick. Like if I were to say, I got a headache, does that mean that I'm claiming headaches now and God's going to give me more headaches? No. So what is that? Here's the truth. We have been taught to think that this healing and miracles is some kind of a formula. If I can just get the formula down, if I can get to the right faith healer, if I can just say the right prayer, if I can give the right offering or get to the right church or have the right amount of faith, if I can just get that right formula, then God's going to heal me. I mean, listen, there are books that have been written that teach you how to pray, exactly how to pray over each sickness. They're all a little bit different. Where to place your hand, and if you don't say the exact same and you don't put your hand in the right place, it's not going to work. Like, can you imagine God up in heaven and you're trying to do this and God's saying, oh, that was so close, right? You almost had it. You know, if your hand was another 2 inches over and if you would have just said this, then I would have healed him. But you know what? Keep trying. Next time, maybe you'll get it. Next time, you're going to do it right. Listen, I remember Colleen and I were young. We were in the military in Hawaii, and we were small group leaders, and we were young. We were like 25 years old when we got there, and you know, the church was about a little over 1,000 members. I don't know exactly, but they had the small group leaders were the ones that would be up at front to pray for people. And so we were this young couple, a lot skinnier and all of that stuff going on. Not many people would come to this young couple because obviously they don't have enough faith yet. They've got to have some experience in life. And plus, nobody knew us. So I think that probably had something to do with it before. But we did pray for some people. Let me just say that. But sometimes we'd be sitting there, there'd be people being prayed over there, people being prayed over here, but there was this one guy that always had people in his line. As a matter of fact, they would wait in his line and not come over to us because, you know what, we're not this guy. And we noticed that everybody that he prayed for would like just, he'd pray for them and they'd go down. They'd come to the next one, pray for them, they'd go down. They're just out and we're like, whoa, this guy has like got the key. Right? This guy has got whatever he's praying, it's working. And so Colleen and I, we figured one Sunday, since we don't have a lot of people coming to our line anyway, we said, hey, listen, you get on one side of this guy, I'm going to get on the other side of this guy, and we're going to hear what he says. Because, you know what, if this is working, I want to lay my hands and have people, you know, going out in the Lord. Anyway, we did this. He's got a big line, and he was a Hawaiian, so his English was a little broken. And but this is what we heard as he laid his hands on people's head. He said, "In Jesus' name, fall down." That was it. Next person, come up. Jesus' name, fall down. You know, Jesus, and we're like, you know, we just kind of both lean back, look at each other, like, "Whoa, that's the key? Is that it? Is that the formula?" And listen, as we begin this series on healing, I want to tackle a difficult theological question that I don't know what you've been taught, I don't know what you've heard, but when it comes to miracles, this is the question: how much of it is up to you, and how much of it is up to God? All right? So I like all of it. I like whoever said that. That's true. So we're going to look at two stories in the New Testament. Two men that are in desperate situation. Both of these guys, their only hope was a miracle from Jesus. Doctors didn't have the answer. Nobody else. You weren't just going to automatically get better. And we're going to compare the two stories. Hopefully, we're going to learn some lessons on miracles. And I hope to relieve some pressure off of each of you, whether you're here, whether you're listening online. So the first one, and is found in Mark chapter 10. The other one is John 5. But Mark 10 is Bartimaeus. And who knows what Bartimaeus' problem was? I heard someone say it. He was blind, right? We often refer to him as blind Bartimaeus. Well, when he died, was he blind Bartimaeus? No, he was seeing Bartimaeus. So we give him that first name. That's not his first name. Is not blind. He's Bartimaeus. He was blind, but then God healed him. The other man is an invalid. We don't have a name for him. It doesn't ever tell about his name. Simply, he couldn't walk. He was for 38 years in a desperate situation. Both of these men had a need, wouldn't you say? If you're lame and you can't walk, you've got a need, right? If you're blind and you can't see, I got a need. And here's the thing, especially back then, in biblical times, if you had something wrong with your physical body, something wasn't working, then people assumed you must have done something wrong. You sinned somewhere, and if you didn't sin, it was your parents that did it, and they're punishing you. God's punishing you. You're getting what's coming to you. Therefore, handicapped people at that time were considered subhuman. They were a drain on society, and their handicap was a result of God's punishment. And so, therefore, people avoided them. They went out of their way. So they had a need. And here's the other thing: both men had a plan. Here was Bartimaeus's plan, was to find a place on the side of the road and shout out to Jesus for healing. Right? I mean, his initial plan is begging, right? I'm going to do that. The invalid's plan was a little bit different. He found a small pond called the Pool of Bethesda. And at this place, there was a pool on the inside. And all of these people that were sick with whatever kind of disease or sickness or crippled or whatever it is, they would wait there. And there was a myth, it wasn't real, that an angel would stir the pond and the first person that got in would be healed, right? So his plan was like, you know what, I'm going to be here. As soon as I see a little ripple in the water, that must be the angel. The only problem with his plan is that he couldn't walk, right? So if I can't walk, how do I get in? And, you know, somebody with a broken arm jumped in before me because his legs worked. So his plan didn't work out. So we're going to look at the difference in the two of them. We're going to start with Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. It says, "And they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging." Because he couldn't get a job. That's the only thing that he could do to make money. And like I said, he had initiative, didn't he? He didn't just like wall, oh, there's nothing I can do. No, he found a good place on the road, begged, and he was doing something, wasn't he? He was trying to get some money. The invalid, on the other hand, was doing nothing. He was lying by the pool day after day, knowing that I'm not going to get in this pool because I can't get up. I can't walk. He's just wallowing in his self-pity. Like, oh, woe is me. There's nothing. I'll just lay here till I die, right? And now let me say, this is the first big difference between the two of them. Bartimaeus was doing everything that he could. The invalid was doing nothing, right? How many of you think there's a difference there? And my question for each of us to ask ourselves, what do you like? What circumstance are you in? Are you doing everything that you can in the natural to get what you need, whether it's a miracle, or are you just basically doing nothing? Like, this is just my life. This is how I am. I'm just going to sit here, feel sorry for myself, throw myself a pity party, and nobody's going to come, right? Hoping one day maybe I'll get a lucky break. I mean, some of you guys have heard this phrase and thought it was in the Bible, and it's God helps those who help themselves, right? We talked about this on our Alpha class, and I learned something. That was actually Benjamin Franklin that made that statement first. God helps those who help themselves. The problem and the reason a lot of people think that that's in the Bible is, first of all, they've been told that, and they don't read the Bible. Second reason is because it is partly true. Part of it is a true statement. God does help those that help themselves, but here's the point I want you to listen to. God also helps those who can't help themselves, right? So a partial truth is not the whole truth, is it? All right, so we need to hang on to that as we think about these two different stories. So verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus, this is Bartimaeus, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out. Notice he didn't say Jesus of Nazareth. He said, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many of the people around rebuked him, basically told him to shut up, but guess what he did? He shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Listen, when Jesus was around, the crowds gathered. And that's perfect. If you are a person begging for money, you want to be where the crowd is, right? You got a better chance of getting some money if you're around a crowd than if you're on a street with nobody at. And Bartimaeus, he wasn't worried about that. He was focused on Jesus. He heard a crowd around him, but he was focused on Jesus, and he just kept yelling, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Ignored what the crowd said, even though they, you know, "Shut up, man, shut up, you're bugging him." He kept on. The invalid did the exact opposite. John 5:6, it says, when Jesus saw him lying there, learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him this question, "Do you want to get well?" Now, let me ask you this question. If you've been suffering with some debilitating disease or sickness or something for 38 years, and somebody said, "Do you want to be well?" what would your response be?
Yes.
Absolutely. Like, let me put it in this perspective. If you're broker than broke, and Bill Gates or somebody like that came up to you and said, "Do you want to be a millionaire?" what would we be like? "Well, I don't really have a job. I don't know if I can." No. You'd be like, "Yeah." Because you know he's got the ability. If he's asking, he's got the ability to do that. Well, look at the invalid's response to Jesus when he just asked him this question. "Do you want to get well?" And I shared this in our first service. I can hear his response through the voice of Eeyore. I know I refer to him a lot, but I think we all can relate to Eeyore at times, right? He says this in Eeyore's voice, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, somebody else always goes down ahead of me." Right, poor little me. He didn't even recognize this is Jesus standing here. He was too busy being in his own pity party. He had all the excuses that he could get why he can't get better. And his world really just wrapped around his tiny little mat by the pool. "This is just my life. This is how I am. I'm never going to get any better." You see, the difference in both of them, Bartimaeus was Jesus-focused. The invalid was excuse-focused, right? Bartimaeus had his eyes. I mean, the question is, what do you like? When you're in a situation and you need a miracle from God, am I focused on Jesus or am I focused on my problems? Am I looking at all of the inability to achieve whatever it is that I'm wanting? You know, all the reasons why I can't be happy, all the reasons why I can't be healed, all the reason why your life stinks and everybody else has got it better than you, right? "Well, you didn't know the family I grew up with. You don't know my situation. You don't know this. You don't know." And we're basically declaring and looking at the excuses of why I can't have a miracle in my life. "I know God does it, but not for people like me." Can't you hear? I could be up here all day long giving excuses that I've heard, right? So let's go back to Bartimaeus. In verse 49, he says, Jesus stopped. I mean, Bartimaeus is calling out. He's making a scene, right? "Have mercy on me." They're telling him to shut up, but he goes all the more. And so that caused Jesus to stop, and he said, "Call him." So the very crowd that was just telling him to shut up is now saying, "Cheer up. Get on your feet. He's calling you." And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. And Jesus says, "What do you want me?" Oh, verse 51. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, let's all say it, "I want to see." Absolutely. Bartimaeus, he was full of hope, wasn't he? He heard Jesus is coming by, and he began to shout out, and Jesus asked him this question, "What do you want?" Now, he could have said, "You know what, Jesus, there's a large crowd of people here. Can we pass the offering plate and get a big offering for me right now? Because I need some money. Can you give me a better spot begging? Could you get me a job? I know blind people don't really get jobs these days, but can you?" He didn't ask any of that. He went for the gusto, didn't he? He's like, "I want to see. I want to be able to see." And when Jesus asked the invalid, "Do you want to get well?" all he says is, "Sir," right? "I have no one to help me. I have nobody to put me in." He didn't say, like all of you guys said, maybe those of you watching online, "I want to get well. This is what I want. I want, you know, what is your miracle?" If Jesus were to ask you, "What is it that you need in your life?" what would be my response? Would I say, "This is what I need," or would I say, "I don't know. I don't know what can happen in my life. Where am I at?" You see, the big difference between Bartimaeus and the invalid, Bartimaeus was hopeful, The invalid was hopeless. How many of you think we have a lot of hopelessness in our world today? Right? In the church today. Even Pastor Colleen even said, you know, how many of you are feeling that weariness? You know, when you're feeling weariness, guess what happens to hope? It begins to drain out of you, doesn't it? So if you're feeling that heaviness, if you're feeling whatever that is, that's hope seeping out of your life. And we need to restore that. He is our hope. So are you hopeful? Are you feeling hope? Are you excitement? When we're talking about a series on healing and we're looking at the 30th as a time where we're just going to believe God, we're going to have a time after service to pray too. Does your heart leap with excitement? Say, oh man, I'm excited. I can't wait to get prayed for because I believe God's going to heal me. Or are you like, well, I've been there before. I've gone up to the front before and prayed. Nothing happened. If I go up again, probably nothing will happen again. I'll try. I don't know. You know, think about our nation. Listen, I love this, what Pat said last week about you watch too much TV. Guess what's going to happen to your hope? You watch too much news. I don't care if it's CNN or Fox or whatever. You're going to be like, oh, man, our country's going down the toilet. We have no hope. Everything's going to implode November 3rd, you know. And we put all of our hope in what's going on in our world rather than Jesus. Right? How many of you see a problem with that? I mean, let me just make this statement. I believe that we need to vote. I believe that you need to vote what God's putting on your heart. But at the same time, how many of you realize that whoever is in office does not determine our eternity? God is the one that has written our eternity in his hearts. God is the one that has us. Even if everything in our society collapses, God is still my provider. God is still my healer. God is still everything that I need. So don't put your hope in politics. Don't put your hope in whether this happens or whether that happens. Because I want to tell you, if you've lived long enough, life is a big disappointment many times. Right? How many people have, like, saved up for retirement all of their lives, only get to the point of retirement and realize physically you can't do anything anymore? Right? All of those dreams. If I'd only had this money and retired when I was 30 years old, wouldn't that have been amazing, right? So, listen, you put your hope in the things in the world. That's one of the reasons, you know, we're working. We've got that 10 acres. Some of you may or may not know, right on the highway. We're going to be putting up a banner that says God gives hope. We're working on right now a prayer line where people can call, and we're trying to get a good number. It's a little bit challenged right now where people can memorize it because our society needs hope. Amen. We need hope, and Jesus, we have it. Guess what? If you are a follower of Christ, you've got hope against all hopeless. I love what it says Abraham said, that against hope, Abraham believed God. And what he's saying, against everything that says, you know, no, God says yes. So, sorry, I'm getting off point here. But Bartimaeus had hope, right? Verse 50, he said, throwing his cloak. He threw it away. Listen, he's not even worried about his cloak if he can even find it again. And the big deal about that is clothes were not easy. Walmart's, Target's were not around. If you didn't have a coat, it would have been very expensive to get another one. But he's just like, Jesus is calling me. He throws it off, jumps to his feet, and comes to Jesus. I bet he ran. I don't know. It doesn't say. But think about this. He's blind. There's a big crowd around. He can hear where Jesus is. He doesn't know if there are people. If there are people between him and Jesus, I bet they got knocked over. Right? Like, I'm going, I hear where Jesus is. He had excitement. The invalid, on the other hand, he couldn't come to Jesus. Why? Because he couldn't walk. So guess what? Jesus, in his mercy, went over to the invalid. Isn't that an awesome thought? He couldn't approach Jesus, so Jesus approached him. He came to him. Jesus walked up into the middle of this man's despair, in the middle of his hopelessness and his sorrow. What a difference. Bartimaeus came to Jesus, but Jesus came to the invalid. That's a big difference, right? It's and the difference is there that both of them had an encounter with God. Am I right? Both of them had an encounter with God. Jesus stopped for both of them. He stopped for Bartimaeus, who had hope. But he also stopped for the invalid who had no hope. Bartimaeus shouted out, have mercy on me, and said, I want to see. Somehow, when we look at this, Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. It wasn't like, you know, he got excited for a reason, and he addressed him as Son of David. That is a title that is strictly reserved for the Messiah, right? How did Bartimaeus know that Jesus was the Messiah? We don't really know, but Jesus had been in the area. It's quite possible that Bartimaeus heard him teaching before, that somebody told him about Jesus' teaching. And somewhere in Bartimaeus' heart, he said, this is not a regular guy, this is the Messiah. And we don't know when, but he had become a faith-filled believer in Jesus. He said, you know, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now the invalid, he was not a believer, a follower. He wasn't even a casual observer, because Jesus, during that day, he was the talk of the town. He was the talk of the country. He could not go somewhere without crowds being around him. And I find this amazing that somehow everybody heard about Jesus except for this guy. Right? How did that happen? He's sitting by the pool, never even heard of him. And Jesus walks up and says, do you want to be well? And he just simply calls him sir. He doesn't know who he is. Didn't call him Jesus, didn't call him sir. Doesn't even call him good teacher that some would have at that time. He's just like, this is some dude coming up to me asking if I want to be well. And I want you to imagine by that pool, all kinds of sick people, all of them looking for some type of healing when the healer himself was standing right there. And they missed it. The invalid could not have been a believer, or else he would have known who he was, right? You can't be a believer in Jesus if you don't know who Jesus is. Makes sense, right? So if he's not a believer, how could he be healed? I mean, how could he do his part in having faith if he had no faith? Good question, right? Say, good question. You see, Bartimaeus was a believer. The invalid didn't even ask who Jesus was. Right? Didn't like, who are you, sir? He didn't even ask. Jesus came to the invalid and to Bartimaeus. He says, what do you want? And to the invalid, do you want to be well? How many of you know those are both similar questions? Right? What do you want? Do you want to be well? Bartimaeus knew what he wanted. He wanted healing. Right? He's like, I want to be healed. I want to be whole. The invalid didn't even know what he needed. Didn't even know. I mean, the invalid just wanted somebody to chunk him in the water. Right? Like, you know, I'm here by the pool. I just wish somebody would throw me in before everybody else got in. He didn't even know what he wanted. The invalid was looking for a natural solution when the supernatural Jesus was standing right there in front of him. A lot of times we look for natural solutions. Well, if I can just get the right medication, if I can just get this, if I can, you know, we're looking for natural. And yes, God uses medication. God uses doctors. Don't think that I'm saying not. But I want to tell you, we better first look for the supernatural. Amen. We better first look for the supernatural, because the natural solutions have limitations. Doctors have limitations. They'll tell you themselves, we can't fix everything. Medicine doesn't heal everything. And so we need to look first for the supernatural before the natural. Bartimaeus, you think, man, this guy was hungry. He was faith-filled. He had hope. He deserved to be healed, right? The invalid, he didn't even try. I mean, like, dude, you can't even try. You can't even, like, who are you? Both of them had an encounter with Jesus, but you know what I love about it is that both had a miracle. For some of you, what I'm about to say might challenge what you've been taught about miracles, what you've been taught about healing. And we're going to look just strictly at what God's Word says, right? So Bartimaeus, Jesus asked him, what do you want? He says, I want to see. And look at Jesus' response. Go, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. So Bartimaeus was healed because of what? Faith. Right, his faith, right? Your faith is, that must be the key, right? If Jesus is saying your faith has healed you, that must be the key. That's the secret. If you want to get healed, I got to have more faith. Which absolutely kind of turns into it's more about me. I got to somehow obtain more faith. You know, what did Jesus say? How much faith does it take to move a mountain? Right? That's pretty small, isn't it? So, but I got to get more than that. I got to get 10 mustard seeds of faith. Right? I got to get 20 mustard seeds. How much faith do you need? You know, even though it's not in the Bible, it must be true that God helps those that help themselves, because if I got to get enough faith, then that must be it. But look at the invalid. After his response, of saying, nobody's here, I'll never get in. Jesus didn't say, you lazy bum, can't you just get one person to throw you in the water? Did he say that to him? No, look at what he said to him. After he gave this pathetic response, Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Now that's got to be an amazing miracle, because he wasn't doing physical therapy, trying to keep muscle growth and all of that. His legs were probably small, shriveled up, you know, non-muscular things. And all of a sudden, you know, I wonder what that looked like. Did like these muscles form back on his bones and he gets up? No wonder he was a little bit excited. But think about it. If faith was the key, why was the invalid healed? Think about it. He didn't have any faith. He didn't even know who Jesus was. There was nothing that this invalid did that brought about his healing. In fact, when Jesus offered healing, like I said, all he wanted was somebody to throw him in the pool. That was it. And so Bartimaeus was healed because of his faith. The invalid was healed because of Jesus' compassion, because of his mercy towards us. He wasn't a believer. In fact, it wasn't until sometime later that he became a believer. For the invalid, his faith came as a result of his healing, right? And I know this might mess up some people's theology, but if we always believe that healing and miracle are the result of our faith, how do you explain this? How do you explain this? There's only one possible explanation, and that's the love of God. It's because God loves us. God cares about us. His great love and mercy, he chose to reveal himself to this invalid through healing. Like, I'm going to show you something. Bartimaeus was healed because of his faith in Jesus. The invalid had faith in Jesus because he was healed. My example that I think about is if you struggle with depression, you don't have to raise your hand, but has anybody, if you're willing to admit it, ever struggled with depression? I mean, it's common. There's a number of people. How many of you know it's hard to have faith and depression at the same time? And so the problem is, if my healing is only based on my ability to have faith, but I'm depressed, somehow I got to get undepressed to have faith to be healed from my depression. Does that make sense? Right? Somehow I got to overcome everything in me and be healed so that I can have faith. You can't. It's almost impossible to do. It's rare to find somebody struggling with anxiety or depression or some of those things, and they also have faith. But thank God it's not up to us. Right? Thank God. It's not about me making the right prayer, how I say it. He is God. Now let me just say this so you don't like misquote me saying Pastor Scott doesn't believe in faith. Pastor Scott doesn't think faith is important. I absolutely know faith is important. I believe in it. The scripture tells us to walk in faith, and that means to believe. I believe that God can do anything he wants, immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Faith is needed for salvation. We know Hebrews 11:6 well. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Listen, we've got to learn how to begin to declare and to speak faith, right? But there are times we don't have that ability. I believe in faith, but I am so thankful that when my faith is weak, God is still able to heal. Amen. When my faith is not where I think it should be, then God is still there. You know, one of the stories that I was thinking about as I was preparing this were the disciples on the lake, and the storm was rising, and they were scared, right? And what did they say? What did Jesus say to them? Who remembers that? Oh, you of little faith. He didn't say, oh, you know what? You guys got such little faith. I'm going to make you ride out the rest of this storm because you don't have any faith. These waves are just going to keep coming and keep coming until you are able to work up enough faith. They couldn't do it. He said, you have little faith. I mean, he did rebuke them in that. You need to start trusting in me, but he still saved their lives. He still came in. He still rescued them, even when they didn't deserve it. He didn't like, you know, you guys just don't deserve it right now. You deserve to get a little seasick, you know, and after you've thrown up 12 times off the side of this boat, then maybe I'll come in. No, he didn't do that. His love and his mercy was there. So what happens next in Bartimaeus' life? He did exactly what you would expect. He left. He didn't keep begging, did he? He left all of that behind and he began to follow Jesus. But look at the invalid. Look at what happened to him. On the day when that took place, when the invalid was healed, it was on a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." What a heartless law followers there, right? Like, I just got healed, man. I haven't walked in 38 years. What are you doing carrying your mat? Just like, seriously, dude? I just got healed. I don't think he really cared. I mean, he was a little bit excited. So, but he replies to them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up your and walk?" I mean, they're like, "Who is this guy telling you to break the law? You know, we want to know who it is." And here's the thing, verse 13, "The man who was healed, he had no idea who it was." He didn't have any idea, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd. Now let me ask you this question. If you had been lame for 38 years, 4 decades, not been able to walk, and all of a sudden some guy comes along, you don't know who he is, and he tells you to get up and you receive a miracle from, wouldn't you like, who are you? Like, you wouldn't let him get away. You would like find, and it says Jesus slipped away into the crowd. And so I'm sitting there trying to figure this out. Maybe he was up there doing a happy dance, I can stand, didn't realize it, and all of a sudden Jesus was gone. Who knows? But sometimes, here's the thing, the truth that we want to learn. Sometimes people that have experienced God's love, they've experienced his power and his healings, have lost sight of who Jesus is in their crowded, busy lives. There are people today that are no longer serving God, but they can look back and they see a time where God touched them, where God intervened in their life, where God poured out his love in their life, and they just allowed the busyness of the crowded life to, and they've lost track of Jesus. I can tell you, we've been serving the Lord and in the church for a long time. There have been several people that we have encountered that have, I mean, I would say it's a bona fide miracle, not just like, oh, God healed the splinter in my finger, healed from cancer, that an individual was not expected to make it through their life. And I mean, and it was only miraculous that the doctors couldn't explain it. And today, some of them not even serving the Lord. It's like, you experience that. How do I lose track of Jesus when Jesus has done so much in my life? But that happens. That happens all the time. You might think, you know what, since this guy didn't acknowledge Jesus, shouldn't he have become a cripple again? Like you know, think about the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. You know, only one of them came back to praise Jesus. Jesus didn't say, oh, only one of you come back? Well, the other 9 are getting their leprosy back. Did he do that? No, God is more, he is not vengeful and petty like us. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that God is not like, oh yeah, you didn't thank me right. You know what? You didn't come back. He is all loving, full of mercy, and compassionate. That's right. That's a good word. He never takes back. Jesus went to find this invalid again afterwards. Verse 14. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you're well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." Now, how many of you would think, I'm just going to be honest with you, I used to think this, like, something worse than being crippled for 38 years, does that mean he's going to be crippled again, blind, deaf, and mute? That would be worse, right? Wouldn't you think that would be worse? That wasn't what Jesus was talking about, because remember, these situations are not a result of sin. Jesus is talking about eternity here. How many of you know eternity without Jesus is in hell is worse than 38 years as a cripple? He came back not just for his physical healing, but there is a spiritual healing that every one of us need, and that's an encounter with Jesus as our Savior, right? If you only get one healing in life, and that is salvation, how many of you know that's enough? That's enough. If that's all I get, and so Jesus, you're like, okay, I healed him. But that healing's not going to do him any good if he doesn't know the Savior. And so he had that encounter. The man went away, and look at this. After that, he told the Jews it was Jesus who had made him well. Now, I personally believe that this is an example. We don't know that he accepted Jesus, but he didn't have to go back and tell the Jews this, did he? No, they had asked him. They didn't say, if you ever find out, come back and tell me. They didn't say that. I believe that he had an encounter. He knew who Jesus was. He knew him as his healer. He knew him as his Savior, and he went to testify him. Right? He went into a dangerous group. It was no secret that the Jewish leaders did not like Jesus and didn't like his followers, but he went back to tell them, hey, you know what? Just so you know, it was Jesus that made me well. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo, right? I don't know if he said that. It wasn't in the scripture, but so Jesus was not concerned just about his physical situation. He was more concerned, I believe, about his spiritual condition. And I believe that's the point. Our sin condition is far worse than our physical condition. So two stories here. Both had an opportunity to follow Jesus. I believe Bartimaeus immediately was following him. The invalid, he began following him after he found out who he was. Both men had a Savior. So who does God help? Going back to that question, he helps those that help themselves, right? In that Bartimaeus, but he also helps those who can't help themselves. And that was the lame man. It's not about you, it's about him. It's not about finding the right formula. It's not about having the right person pray for you. If there's somebody up here that's 5 years old ready to pray for you, you better receive that. I know, I believe it was Rebecca when she was just two or three years old, I don't remember what it was, prayed for Colleen, and she was healed. And she might have done the same thing as that one man in Jesus' name, fall down. No, it wasn't fall down, but it was, you know, heal Jesus, something like that. I don't remember. I'm telling the story for her. But he is our healer. Listen, the lesson from Bartimaeus is whatever you need, run to Jesus. The lesson that we can learn from the invalid is that mercy is God's response to our misery. Mercy is God's response to our misery. Mercy is available to every one of us. Whether you're here in this room, whether you're watching online, God has mercy for you. But here's the thing about mercy. It has to be received. God is not going to force his mercy on anybody. The invalid, he told him, pick up your mat and walk. You know what the invalid could have done? He could have been like, I can't. Haven't done this in 38 years. This is how I am. This is just how. He had to actually get up and respond. There was something that he had to do. Listen, mercy must be received. If you have a lot of faith, if you have little faith, if you have none at all, if you're hopeful, if you're hopeless, if you're convinced, if you're a doubter, I want to tell you, today could be a day for a miracle for you. I'm not just saying that to hype anything up, and obviously it didn't work because I just got like one amen out of that. Right? It's not a. I believe that whoever, wherever you are, God could change your life 100% today. Whether you're here in this room, whether you're watching online, God is a healer. He's a miracle worker, and we believe that. And so, you know, are you saying, Pastor Scott, I want you to come forward, even if I don't believe in Jesus? Absolutely. I don't think that your belief in Jesus is going to hinder God from doing what he wants to do in your life. Does that mean, you know, that I can actually pray for other people to be healed even if they don't believe in Jesus? Like if I meet somebody on the street that doesn't know Jesus, well, you know what? I'll pray for you that God will heal you, but first you've got to accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and come and ask him to live in your life. Yes, they need to do that, but you can pray for anybody. There's no amount of faith that they need. People's lack of faith doesn't stop Jesus' power. Amen. Today can be your day, and it's not up to you. It's not a formula. It's God's power at work. It's his mercy at work. We've been praying. Listen, we've been praying for people to be healed. If you don't have faith to believe, I believe that there are people here that do. They have it for you. Let me just tell you a quick story. Colleen and I, when we just got married, and some of you guys have heard this testimony from me before. We just got married. I was in the Army Reserves, and I think 2 weeks after we got married, I had to go on my 2 week away, and I came back with mouth full of cold sores, right? Anybody ever have those? Aren't those fun? I had both of my upper and lower lip on the inside, and top that off, it was on the outside. I mean, my lips were so swollen. I look like I had Botox. I had Botox, and it wasn't even going on back then. And I'm like talking like, oh, my mouth hurts. You know, and I kept doing that. Colleen had prayed for me, and, you know, eventually she was, and I'm just like, oh, my mouth hurts. She said, you know, 700 Club was on at the time. She goes, why don't you call the 700 Club? And I'm thinking, oh, okay, I guess I can try that. And let me just say, I didn't have a whole lot of faith that anything was going to happen. I really didn't. I did not have my faith-o-meter was not at a high level. I was hurting. I was in pain, and I was a big baby. Yes, men cannot deal with pain. Am I right? That's the reason women have babies and men don't. So let me just say that. And I pray, and they prayed for me on the phone. And as soon as it was over, nothing happened. But about 10 minutes later, all of a sudden, I didn't have any more pain in my mouth. I was like, this, but they were still there. I mean, it was still ugly. It was like, ugh, you know. And went to bed that night, woke up the next morning. There was no cold sores on my inside or out. It was completely gone. I was healed. I'm like, yeah. And can I tell you, to this date, 32 years later, I've never had a cold sore since. So let me tell you, and you know this, because I talked to a doctor. This is a cold sore. I don't know the name of it. It's a virus. You don't just get rid of viruses. If you've had cold sores, you know they go away, and then you get stressed out or something, and guess what? They come back, right? And then it goes away. I had had that for multiple years. They go away, come back, go away, come back. I'm thinking after 32 years, they're probably gone. They're gone, right? So I want to tell you, why did God do that for me? Why cold sores? I prayed for other things and it happened. I believe personally that God did that to me to let me know that I can do anything that I want, anytime I want. It's not because you had enough faith, because let me tell you, I really didn't. But I know that God is merciful. I believe, yes, we need to begin to trust God. And so I'd asked a few people to come up and just get ready to pray. Listen, if you are online, we want to pray for you as well. We want you to be able to contact us. You can write something on Facebook, and maybe at the end I'm going to have my wife and I. Could you come up here? I didn't prep her for this. Those of you that are going to come up, listen, if you need prayer, here's the thing. Spiritual healing is first and most important, right? We've got to make sure our eternity is secure. And so I do want to take this moment. If you've never received Christ, or maybe you received Christ and you walked away, you know you're not serving Him and you want to get your life right, whether you're here in this room or whether you're online, if you want to receive Christ, we're going to pray. And I want you to repeat this prayer after me. If that's you, let's all say this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for sending Jesus to die on a cross for my sin. Thank You, Lord, for helping me when I couldn't help myself, for reaching out to me with Your love and Your mercy. Be the Lord of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you said that prayer, let somebody know. Let us know. If you're online and you said that prayer, we've got stuff we want to send you. But after that, we want to pray for physical healings. If you need a physical touch, there's something in your body and it's not working and you're tired of it, you're like Bartimaeus, I want to see, right? I want to heal. I want to be healed. I want this pain in my leg or whatever it is to be gone. We want to pray for you. If there's an emotional, listen, we are in a very emotional times where people are held captive by their emotions. And so we want to see people set free from that. If you're walking in fear, if you're walking in hopelessness, if you're walking with depression, we want to pray that God will set you free. If it's a mental issue, maybe there's a mental thing that you've dealt with. You're like, you know what? This is just what I am. I'm bipolar. I don't know what it is. Let me tell you, God can heal that too. Amen? Amen?